We'll be reading from Proverbs chapter 11, verses 18 through 22. Notice as we come to this text, singing that hymn is like reading one of the epistles, isn't it? Amen. Good. I wanted to sing Psalms 15 also in reference just to some of our passages here tonight. Notice as we come here, I'm going to begin reading in verse 18 down to verse 22. I'm going to title this The Reward of the Righteous. Last week we were in verse 15 through 17, speaking of gracious women and merciful men. In verse 18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. As a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. I don't know how verse 22 ties with those, but anyway, notice as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this evening for this week that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity again to assemble together, Lord. And we just pray this evening, Lord, that you would help us as we look into your word. We pray for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Pray that we'll get something that will be a blessing from these verses that can help us in our Christian walk. We ask all of these things in the Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We've already preached two messages, actually probably more than that, that's centered around comparing the wicked and the righteous. One in chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, the treasure of the righteous. We had preached before that, the treasures of the wicked. Then in chapter 10, verse 26 through 32, we preached the message titled The Stability of the Righteous. Well, in these verses, I just want to title this tonight, The Reward of the Righteous. And you'll notice as we come back to verse 18, he said, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Let me do one thing before we get into this verse. I'm going to lay this on the table afterwards. This is from Operation Renewed Hope, the minister there out of North Carolina. And this is about the Holy Trinity Church there and the refuge center in Ukraine and the war that is going on there. And there's one little section you can read in here. It'll tell you how much they have been able to give so far toward this one project. And I think it was $20,000. But one thing I wanted to read, I've had three or four people try to draw me into discussions with the politics of Russia and Ukraine. I said, no, let's pray for the people there and let's continue to do that. And I love this. This is in the newsletter that was given out entitled just A Band of Brothers. And it's several men. I think there's some Americans there, too, that are helping. And it was several men. And it says, I'm just going to quote, it says, every day in Ukraine, this type of thing is repeated. And, of course, I'm skipping what was said before this, delivering food to certain cities. And it goes on to say, Christians risk their lives to drive the roads with much-needed relief supplies or with a purpose to rescue people in danger. They have no human protection. They fight with the protection of God alone. Listen to this. Said the effort by these individuals, missionaries, churches, charitable funds, is overwhelming as they fight the biblical way overcoming evil. And then they quote Romans 12, verses 19 through 21. And it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And this, there's two wars going on in that country. One is a physical war and one is a spiritual war. And the church, this church, is involved in the spiritual war. That's where we got to keep our minds. I've told several people this week, and a few phone calls, and just some individuals talk, we've got to keep our focus on what God has called us to do. And if we were there, we'd be doing the same thing that we'd be doing here. Notice as we come to this text now, and he says in verse 18, he said, "The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward." We find here again the contrast between the righteous and the unrighteous, or the saved or the lost. And when he talks about the deceitful work of the wicked are filled with deceit, as we know. And as we consider the wicked in the Scripture and in our society and in the world today, they will reap what they sow. We'll see that in the verses that in this text that we've picked out to read. He said, "The wicked worketh a deceitful work." Again, we're going to find out that in verse 19, verse 20, verse 21, that they will not go unpunished. And so we find that their life is filled with lies and deceit. And many times they take advantage of others. Now that's what war, by the way, is all about in the world. No matter where that it's at, that's usually what it's about. To take advantage of someone else, to hurt someone else, to rule over someone else. It's like in Exodus 1:11, we'll not be turning there. But there were taskmasters set over the children of Israel. After Joseph was gone, the taskmasters set over them to afflict them, to bring burdens upon them, because they were growing by leaps and bounds. And the leaders in Egypt says, if they keep growing like this, if we have enemies come against us, they'll join the enemies. And so, throughout the Scripture, we see the issue of deceitful works of the wicked. If you want some references, chapter 1, verses 24 through 33. We went back and read that several times. But on the other side of this, we find that in verse 18, "But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward." Sowing righteousness. We see this principle all through the Scripture. I want you to notice one. Notice with me as we come to Psalms 126. It's close by. Psalms 126. A few other verses are like Galatians 6, verse 6 through 10. "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He tells us not to be weary in well-doing." And we've covered those passages a number of times. Also in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8, especially speaking of finances in that particular passage. And then in Hosea 10 and in verse 12. So the sowing of righteousness is a work of faith in performing acts of devotion and piety before God and before others. That's the sowing of righteousness. In other words, it is to sow to the Spirit, and it is to live a righteous life. We must first have righteousness through Christ before we can sow righteousness, before we can do righteous. We don't want to get those confused. One writer says, in reference to this verse, he says, "If righteousness be our main goal, then God will make it our best friend." And how true that is. It just comes natural to us as far as the divine nature is concerned. So he says in Psalms 126, verses 5 and 6, he said, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." So we see the promise that God has given to us for sowing righteousness. Again, we'd see this in Galatians 6, as I just mentioned, 2 Corinthians 9, and Hosea chapter 10. But notice also here in Psalms, turn to Psalms 19. In Psalms chapter 19. Now, in our text in Proverbs that we just read a moment ago, he said, "The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward." So God always rewards for those who sow righteousness. Now, there's many other places. I'm going to give you a few here in Psalms, and I'll just call out some of the others. But notice in Psalms chapter 19, and I want you to see God keeps His promises. If we sow righteousness as righteous people, that is regenerate people, He has promised that we shall have a sure reward. And the verse I'm really after is verse 11, but I want to begin reading in verse 7. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Now in verse 11, he says, "Moreover, by them is thy servant warned," that is by the word, the law of the Lord. And then he says, in keeping of them, there is great reward. There is great reward. We would see this principle, turn back with me to our text, we would see this principle again in Psalms 37, verses 3 through 11. Very similar statements. And then in Isaiah chapter 32 and in verse 17, you can jot that down as well. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17, it says, "And the work," that is the result "of righteousness, shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." Then he speaks of a peaceable habitation in verse 18. So let me give you three other verses about this, the reward. In James chapter 5 and in verse 7, and if you just read the context in verse 7 through 11, it's dealing with Job. And it talks about, you remember the things that Job went through, and it talks of the patience of Job, but then it talks of the end. In other words, how that everything ended for him. The blessings of God that was on upon him. Hebrews 6 and verse 15 speaks of Abraham and the promises that he received. He did not receive, as the children of Israel did later, the promised land, but he lived in that land, but he received promises from God. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 32, God had made a promise to Simeon that he would see the first coming of Christ, the Messiah, that he would see him, and he speaks about that in that chapter. Now notice verse 18 again as we read it. He said, "The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward." So here's a promise to the wicked and also to the righteous and those that sow righteousness. Now, verse 19, he says, "As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death." Righteousness tendeth to life. There are those who pursue righteousness because they have the righteousness of Christ. And there are those who pursue evil. And we know the end result of that. Let's read one passage on this. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. He speaks in Romans 6 of our state before conversion and our state after conversion. I'm just going to kind of cut in to the chapter, but I want you to notice as I begin reading in verse 20 through verse 22. Again, he shows us who we were a servant to and who we're a servant to now. And again, the whole chapter deals with this, but I'm taking just a few verses. And also in Proverbs 12:28, it speaks of this. Righteousness proves spiritual life in the soul, and evil reveals the soul that's still dead in sins. This chapter here deals with the fact of dead to sin and not dead in sin. Notice in verse 20, for when we were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. In other words, you had no righteousness. He said in verse 21, but fruit, what fruit rather, had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin. See, he's talking about our transformation. He says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Then he says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we see at one time we served sin. But now he says we are servants to God and bring forth the fruit unto holiness. Go back with me now to our text. And notice in verse 19 again, as we read this, verse 19, he says, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Again, we see two groups of people, two kinds of people that are mentioned in the verses. And this is what we see really throughout all of Scripture. Now, in verse 20, he says, they that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Now, back in chapter 2, verses 12 and 15, we dealt with the froward heart. That's a crooked heart, a perverse heart, a twisted heart. One who is proud and distorts the truth and hates God and has a reprobate mind, basically. And this word here is used a number of times in the book of Proverbs. But anyway, we dealt with that in chapter 2, verses 12 and in verse 15. Verse 20 again, they that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord. In other words, God hates this. In other words, these kind of people, they are contrary to truth and light. They call evil good and good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. In other words, they cannot think biblically. And the Bible refers to that as in Romans 1 and verse 28 as a reprobate mind that is void of judgment. They cannot think the right way, they think the wrong way. We have plenty in our society as the writer did in his time. Now, he contrasts this in verse 20 in the middle of this verse. He said, but such are as are upright in their way are his delight. Upright in their way. If you read Genesis 7:1, you'll find that Noah was upright. In Psalms 37 and verse 18, it basically means righteous, upright. Psalm 37 and verse 18, I mentioned a moment ago, he mentions the righteous. And then in Numbers 14, verse 24, Caleb, and we did a character study on him, a year, 2 years ago, whenever it was. What is interesting about what he says about him, says he had another spirit in him and he followed the Lord fully. He had another spirit, a different spirit than what we see in the average man or woman that's in the world. In other words, it was God's Spirit that changed his spirit. In Psalms 119 and verse 1 says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." And then what does Psalms 84 verse 11 speaks of those who walk uprightly. Now notice with me as we come to verse 21. In verse 21, he says, "Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered." Again, we have the contrast between the saved and the lost, the righteous and the unrighteous. Notice he says here in this passage, speaking of hand joining in hand, that is forming a partnership. It's to make an agreement. Though hand join in hand, the wicked, and he's speaking of the wicked here, the wicked shall not be unpunished. In other words, it's to form an ungodly alliance or a confederacy of men and or nations. That is, to protect themselves or to fortify themselves. And yet, it says, they will not be unpunished. They will be punished. It don't matter how many people join together against God, they will be punished. Classic example is the Tower of Babel. In Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. And they came together and they started building this tower. A lot of speculations about that. But the point is, they said they were doing this so that they would not be scattered. Maybe they're thinking what happened during the flood or something in the days of Noah. But anyway, their whole goal was destroyed by the Lord. He not only scattered them, he separated their languages. And Isaiah 28, verses 15 through 18 speaks of a covenant with death. What about Pilate and Herod? Luke chapter 23 and verse 12, they were enemies. They were at odds with each other. But they became friends so they could do the Lord Jesus Christ in and have him crucified. I've seen that happen many times. I've seen people become friends who hated the Lord and hated the Lord's people or hated the Lord's minister, and seen them form a bond and they had nothing in common. My wife and I was talking about this a number of years ago. We've seen some people form a bond that they had nothing in common. They hated one another, but they wanted to get at me and this church. They wanted to destroy this church. And there's many examples given to us. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 2. In the book of Psalms in chapter 2, we'll just read one of these. Psalms chapter 2. Also in Joshua 9 verses 1 and 2, the Canaanite kings was in one accord against God's covenant people, and eventually they were defeated by God and his people. Notice in Psalms chapter 2, this is an interesting chapter and an interesting statement. And it says, beginning in verse 1, says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves against the rulers." And the rulers take counsel together. "And against the Lord and against his anointed." That's the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what they're saying, verse 3. "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." In other words, it says in verse 12, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled, but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." When he says kiss the Son, he's talking about worshiping the Son. But what is interesting is that when we read verse 1 and 2, And three, when he says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, it's saying, we do not want this king to reign over us, as in Luke chapter 19, verse 14. In other words, we do not want Christ, the Messiah, to reign over us. But what is really interested, and let me just make sure I give you the right verse. I'm not asking you to turn there, but in Acts chapter 4, this is quoted in Acts chapter 4. And the text would actually begin long about verse 19. But when you read verse 2, he talks about the kings and the rulers, that they set themselves and take counsel against together against the Lord and against His anointed. We find here in this passage, it says, who by the mouth of the servant David has said, I'm reading from verse 25 on, said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ, but He names some of them. He goes on to say, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. In other words, this was fulfilled in the first century when they came against Jesus Christ. So they formed a bond and came together, the kings of the earth, against the Lord. Israel and the Romans, representing, you know, the world at that time. Now go back with me to Proverbs. And let's finish that verse. Proverbs chapter 11. Again, there's the comparison here. Reading in verse 21 again. He says, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. In other words, it doesn't matter whatever bond they form, whatever allegiance or alliance or confederacy, whether it be just men or nations, if they're doing this to protect themselves and fortify themselves against God Himself, they will always fail. There's no way, where it be an individual or certain men or certain women or the nations of the world, they will fail. But he goes on to say, he says, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Again, you write down, there's many verses. The Bible speaks of the seed of the woman in Revelation 12 and verse 17, the remnant of the church there that God had protected. God will deliver. Notice the seed of the rem. Let me back up here. Verse 21. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. In other words, God will deliver even the descendants of the righteous if they will walk in that righteousness too. And one of the places is Psalms 112, verse 1 and 2. And again, I'll go back to Psalms 37 again. Psalms 37, verse 25 and 26. And God even told Abraham that He would be with him and his children in Genesis 18 and in verse 19. In other words, especially if the children will walk in the path of the parents, they have the same protection and the blessings that the parents have. So that's basically what he's saying here. God will deliver even the descendants of the righteous if they walk in His Word. Verse 21 again, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. One of the reasons I like the hymn we just sang a moment ago. We shall know, Father, alone. The things we just do not understand now. We see things happen in our country and in the world. We see atrocities. We see all sorts of things take place. We just don't really understand them. But Father alone, one day we're going to understand clearly because God has said it in His Word. Yeah. He said, here's the way it's going to be. Here's the way it's going to be. And so we know the outcome of this whole deal. No matter how much things that the Christians go through, we know the end game. All right, now notice as we come to verse 22. In verse 22. As a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. You say, what in the world is that talking about? Basically, of course, a fair woman would be a beautiful woman. And the word without discretion, the words without discretion means void of grace, void of virtue, someone who has lost all sense of grace and virtue and modesty and chastity. In other words, they've lost all sense of that. So what this is in verse 22, as a jewel of gold and a swine's snout. Now, can you imagine that? In other words, the jewel is in the wrong place. And a woman without discretion, the same would be true. Growing up, we did put rings in hogs' nose, but it weren't for looks. It was to keep them from rooting. And it actually worked, but it was not gold rings. So he says here, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. I mean, it's just out of place. One writer said an ornament would not beautify a filthy pig. Another writer says that all the charm of beauty are lost upon a foolish woman. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about a fair and a foolish woman, a beautiful and a foolish woman. Give an example. We read here last week in dealing with women and men. But in Proverbs chapter 31, you don't have to turn there. We read it last week. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And I also gave you chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. Now, chapter 31 is dealing with the virtuous woman. Chapter 7, verse 9 and 10 is dealing with the foolish woman. And also chapter 9 and in verse 13. So again, a woman without discretion, she's void of grace and virtue and any sense of what is good and what is wholesome and what is modest and any sense of chastity. And so a pretty face, we could say here, a pretty face but an ugly soul. That's sort of what he's talking about. So this is a description. It speaks of a descriptive appearance. I'll put it that way. It is not normal to put a gold jewel in a pig's nose. And it is not normal for a beautiful woman to be without discretion. And that's pretty much what he's trying to get across. Read this again and we'll close. Verse 22, as a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. In other words, she departs from all that is wholesome and all that is good and all that is true. So again, we really have from verses 18 through 22, again, the contrast between the righteous and the unrighteous. Let us stand, please. Father, we do thank Thee again tonight for Your love and kindness to us. We thank You for the privilege and opportunity to be able to assemble together here tonight. We ask Your blessings upon the hymns. And Lord, as we kneel here to pray, the prayer requests, all that will be lifted up here this evening, Father, we ask that You would be with us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.